The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
In just a moment from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll be basically looking at the whole chapter as we kind of walk through and share some truths about that chapter. I admit, we come to Easter Sunday morning. Easter Sunday morning is always a struggle for me. I talk to a lot of other preachers, and that's also true for them. And there are several reasons for that, primarily because, number one, what we celebrate today is the foundational truth of everything we hold in Christian faith. I mean, it is the most important truth that we share. Without the resurrection, everything else would fall apart and would be worthless. I mean, we have no reason to exist, even open our doors, unless there was a presence of a living Christ being here. So, you know, and so there's a burden to saying, how can I communicate the importance of that truth and the resurrection and help our people to grasp and to understand how important it is? Second reason is that every Easter, we see people who desperately are in need of God in their lives. One preacher described it as, I see lostness walk through the door, and nothing seems to happen. It doesn't seem to change people's lives. But, you know, so many people in our world today are not experiencing the presence of the living Christ. They don't know the joy, the fulfillment, the happiness that comes when a person really has committed their life to Christ. And so there's a sense of urgency about what we do on Easter Sunday morning. A sense of urgency that encourages people to say, hey, this is really important. This will change your life. If you will grasp this truth and understand this truth, this is what it's about, folks. The presence of the living Christ in our lives and our hearts. He's the one that changes us. He's the one that gives us power to live for Him. Everything is changed by the living presence of Christ. So there's that sense of urgency. And then there's the struggle with a familiar truth. We come to on Easter Sunday morning, and we know the preacher's going to preach on the resurrection. And so we struggle with how we're going to make this thing effective or, you know, find some unique way to present that truth. And, you know, there's only so many ways that you can say it, folks. Jesus is risen. He's alive, and so we're praying for His presence to be able to be here, and it become real to us as we worship together and as we think about it. So, you know, I want to remind you and encourage you this morning about some truths about the resurrection by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That was a church that was struggling with the resurrection. There were some within that church who undoubtedly, if you read the passage, believed that that Jesus rose from the dead, but there wasn't a resurrection from the dead, you know, for the Christian people that followed Him. And so Paul writes this exhortation and great teachings about the resurrection of Christ. There's so much truth in this 15th chapter of Corinthians. And so Paul responds, and we're going to walk through that chapter in a little bit. But let's read a good deal of the chapter before we begin, beginning with verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now Paul said, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which was also received, in which also you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you as of first importance what also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. And then there were people who experienced the living Christ. He said He appeared unto Cephas, to the 12. Afterward, He appeared unto 500 brethren at one time. Most of them remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared unto James and to all of the apostles. And last of all, Paul said, He appeared unto me, one untimely born, unto me also. Then in verse 12, he said, now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith is vain. And moreover, we even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise. if in fact the dead are not raised. Why, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins, and those who also fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, then we are of all men most pitiful or miserable. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. After that, those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, and when he hands over the kingdom of God and the Father, and when he abolishes all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that he will abolish is death. Then the last two verses, or three verses of that chapter in verse 56. The sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for this glorious and wonderful truth, the fact that you not only came and died for us and bore the penalty for our sin, removed the wrath of God, reconciled us unto yourself, but and shed your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. But, Father, we're also extremely grateful that you verified it was all worth it because you rose from the dead and that you are a living presence today. And we pray that this morning we will be able to sense that presence in this place, that you're the presence of the Holy Spirit, your living presence, will speak to our hearts and draw us to the place of commitment and surrender and to say, this is the day I'm going to decide to give my life to God and experience all that God has for me. For it is in Jesus' name that we ask it. I want to walk through the chapter a little bit and talk about some of those great truths that is mentioned here because of the resurrection, but then also to talk about what it means. Now in verse... what would have happened ultimately if Jesus had not risen, you know, from the dead? If there was no resurrection, if all this stuff is really not true? Well, first of all, we need to understand that if this is not true, then our God is not among us, and he is not here. He is not alive. Jesus is dead. Now, that... You know, we have to think about that for a moment because we came to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But what, you know, what would it mean if Jesus had really not rose from the dead and he was still in the grave? What he did on the cross would have meant nothing. We would have just been another religion like the false religions of the world, trying through our efforts and our willpower and our self-discipline somehow to get to God. But because of the resurrection, because Jesus came back alive and that tomb is empty, then his living presence is among us. And it is worth it to live for God. You know, and everything he said is true. The cross has been sufficient to take care of the needs of our salvation and bring us to the place of reconciliation in our relationship with him. Folks, Jesus Christ indeed is alive. But if he had not risen from the dead, then understand, our preaching is vain. Verse 14 says, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, then our preaching would be in vain. Now, I admit sometimes, I've been in the ministry 49 years, and I realize sometimes I come in and I preach, and you walk out of there, and nothing seems to happen. Nobody seems to move. It doesn't just seem to take place, and you go home a little bit discouraged on Monday morning because nothing is happening, and people's lives aren't being changed. And you wonder if you're often preaching in vain. But then you pick up God's Word, and you begin to read it, and the Spirit of God begins to speak to your heart again, and you begin to realize, folks, Jesus really is alive, and that he makes a difference in our hearts and our lives. And that... our preaching is significant because he's alive. Now, if he was dead, then it means nothing. But because he's alive, he takes his word, and we stay true to that word. He says his word will not come back to him void. God touches people's lives we don't know anything about, And we are not, you may come in and not say anything or not be moved, but God will speak to your heart and life. That's been my prayer all week long as we approach this Easter Sunday. As we came here today, we would experience the presence of the living Christ. He would use his word to speak to your heart, and you would realize the significance and the importance of really living for Jesus Christ. Folks, but if Jesus had not risen from the dead, then our preaching would be in vain. Verse 14 also says our faith was in vain. Oh, see, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we'd have faith in a dead Savior. He couldn't do anything. We'd be trusting something that wasn't real or important. Verse 15 says that not only was our preaching in vain and our faith is in vain, but it says we were false witnesses because we testify that he rose from the dead when he didn't rise from the dead. You know, and so therefore we would be false witnesses and telling people an untruth. Verse 17 says that our faith would be worthless. I mean, faith is a part of life. You know, we operate every day through faith. Yeah, almost everything we do has some significance of faith involved in it, some significance of trust, you know. But if Jesus Christ was not alive, to trust him would be foolish. It would be useless and worthless, and our faith would be worthless. But the sad part is, if he had not risen from the grave, we would still be in our sin. See, sin is a big problem we have, folks. And it's not just your problem or my problem. It's everybody's problem. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what is the gospel of Jesus Christ really about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's about dealing with a sin problem. Jesus Christ came into this world in order to deal with that which separated us away from God, to deal with our sin. And when he went to the cross, he shed his blood for the remission of our sin. When he went to the cross, he took the wrath of God against our sin. When he went to the cross, he reconciled us and removed the alienation that separated us away from there. And then when he rose from the dead, he validated it all as being true, and every word of it is true, and that it is, you know, that what he did had significance in our hearts and in our lives. But without the resurrection of Jesus, we would be left in our sins, with no power, with no hope, facing an eternity of separation away from God in hell, still in our sin. But because of the resurrection of Christ, when we trust him, folks, we're forgiven and cleansed, and we can face eternity with a hope and assurance. Then if there had been no resurrection of the dead, then those who have died previously have perished. And honestly, everybody who would die would perish. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that's talking about an eternal death. And if we did not have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if he were not alive, then that means every person would face hell and separation for all of eternity and perish. Now, all of us have got loved ones that have gone on to be in heaven, and we long one day to look back and to see them again and to rejoice, you know, in being able to see them again in heaven. But folks, I'm telling you, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, they wouldn't be in heaven. Neither would we be. For all who die perish without Jesus Christ. But because he's alive, there's hope. And then verse 19 says that if we have hope only in Christ in this world, then we're all men most miserable. You know, the most miserable people in all the world is those who have put their faith and their hope and their trust in something that is not true. And if all we have is this world, it wouldn't be worth it, folks. If I didn't have the hope and the assurance that there's more beyond here, and there's a heaven out there, there's an eternity with God, there's joy, there's reconciliation, and we're going to experience the forgiveness of our sins, you know, it wouldn't be worth going on. If all we got is the hope of what we can gain in this world and, you know, can accumulate in this world, and, you know, even if we live good lives in this world, you know, we're miserable and pitiful. Paul said if all we got in this world, we might as well go out and eat, drink, and be merry, you know. I'll tell you something, though, there's more than this world. There's an eternity where we can experience the living presence of Jesus Christ, but also we experience him today. Now, what does all that mean? Now, we can walk through there and we can read those scriptures and we can say, okay, what? But, preacher, what does all that mean? So what? You know? Well, let me share with you some statements that I think that help us to grasp the meaning of the resurrection. First of all, the resurrection of Jesus means that he is still alive and among us today. He's here. Whether we sense him or not, or know it or not, you know, he is here, and he is alive. The promise of Jesus before he ascended into the heavens, they stood on the Mount of Olives with the disciples. He promised them, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, you know, even unto the end of the world." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." See, the resurrection is not something that just happened in the dusty ancient civilization. Though Easter Sunday is a memorial day, and though it was a literal time and fact of history, there was a day when literally he arose from the dead and he came back to life again. There, you can mark it down in history. It changed the world and everything about it. But folks, I'm telling you, it's still true today. He arose from the dead, but he is still alive. He is still in this place. He is still with us. He has not forsaken us, and he can still here to meet our needs today. Now I wonder, do we really believe that Jesus Christ is in this place this morning? See, that's a question we have to ask ourselves. Now we come to celebrate his resurrection. We come to worship. And if we didn't believe it to be at least an intellectual fact, we wouldn't have shown up. But has it become a reality to us that Jesus Christ is really alive and that he is here in this place and that he is with us? The second thing we can understand about the resurrection is that the resurrection of Jesus means that everything he said, everything he gave, every claim he made is good and stamped with heaven's verification. Folks, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the God the Father. So, I wonder when we are going to get it, you know, really, that Jesus Christ is the only door to everything it has to do anything with God. Now, our world doesn't see that. Our world thinks, well, all religions are alike, and they're all just really like a, you know, sort of like a big wagon wheel with God in the middle, and all these spokes are kind of coming down to the same God. And folks, that's Satan's lie. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." There is no other way to God. In spite of what our politicians and our media believes and the world religion believes, folks, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the only God. He's the only one who came and went to the cross and who died and then who came back to life verifying that what he did was true and that everything that God said and every claim that he's made is true. Now, if he didn't rise from the dead, then we're wasting our time. And if he is not the only way to God, then he is a liar and he's not worth trusting, because he said, "I am the only way. You can't come to the Father except by me." The Christian church, when they get to the place that we really grasp and understand that truth and begin to live that truth, you know, and we talk about we living in a day of tolerance, we ought to tolerate other people, and I don't believe we ought to be cruel and mean or defiant. People have a right to believe whatever they want to believe. But I'm telling you something, as Christians, we're going to have to stand on the truth that there is no other truth except through Jesus Christ, and that he is indeed the living Savior and the living Lord, and he's the only way to God. And when we begin to believe that, then we can be a force in the world that will change the circumstances and situation. The resurrection verifies that everything he did was true through all of eternity. Then the resurrection of Jesus means that death is defeated and we don't have to ever fear that faker again. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, says, "For this purpose Jesus partook of the flesh and blood, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through the death were subject to bondage all of their lives." Folks, I'm telling you, he defeated the devil and delivered all of his captives. 2 Timothy 1:10, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. Folks, he literally nullified death. He put it out of business. So when we die in Christ, we go straight to heaven. We just change homes. This old body and this old flesh may be put away, but folks, we haven't died because we, you know, have a living presence of Jesus Christ in our life. And in reality, for those of us who know Jesus, there's no such thing as death. It's a defeated enemy. So the question for us as we try to apply the resurrection to our life is that when are we going to get to the place that we're going to stop fearing death and start living in the power of the living presence of Christ? And number four, the resurrection of Jesus means that we may live boldly in this life since his death has defanged. And one preacher said, demonstrified. He said, if that's not a word, it ought to be. You know, death, no fear of death means there's no hesitation about living. See, what's holding us back from doing bold things for God? The things that Jesus wants us to do. You know, so many times we're so afraid we can't do it. We can't say anything. We can't witness. We're afraid we can't operate. Well, thanks, folks, we don't have anything to be afraid of anymore. Jesus Christ has destroyed death and his enemies and all the consequences of sin, and he set us free. If we make a mistake, then he's a forgiving, loving God who will restore us to our relationship with him, and we can live boldly for Jesus Christ. We can step out with courage and boldness, and we can speak up for Christ, and we don't have to fear, you know, basically the consequences. What's holding us back from doing bold things for God? That's for us individually, that's for a church. Fifth, the resurrection of Jesus then means that we also have the gospel. It is unlike any other message upon the planet, and everybody needs to hear it. That means if we really understand the living presence of Jesus Christ, then we have to know that we are his messengers and that we're to be sharing the truth. You know, so many times we break the I kind of got distracted. My daughter just came in. She was running late, and I was worried about her. But we have the greatest message in all the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the living presence of Jesus that gives us the courage and the power to be and the boldness to be able to share that message with other people. Now, if we step out with boldness and really believe in the living presence of Jesus, there's nothing in order to keep us from being his witnesses and sharing, you know, what Jesus Christ has done for us. So I often look at our world and look at the Christian church, and I wonder how we've conned ourselves into thinking that we can keep silent about such a wonderful truth that we have and about seeing that the lost come to the place that they might believe. Somebody needs to tell them. And that's why God put us here. That's why his church is here. That is why the living presence of Christ is so important to us, because he has made us to be his witnesses. It is not about this world. It is not about the flesh that we live in. It is not about our jobs and all the things that we have to do that are a necessary part of our life. Folks, it is about what God has done and saving us and redeeming us and what he can do and will do for every person who will trust him. It is the living presence of Jesus Christ. And then I say the resurrection of Jesus says this, for all who are in Christ, that is for everybody who's trusted him, from here on throughout all of eternity, the news is all good. The trouble along the way is just speed bumps. Well, understand. If we understand what Jesus did, if we understand that he is alive, if we understand that he is moving us towards eternity, you know, the little problems we face in this world are insignificant. Because he's alive, and as long as, you know, even if we live a long time in this world, You know, I read somewhere this week, it's the oldest person in the world died. She was 117, I think, and lived in Japan. And then they were trying to verify that another lady was 113 years old, and she becomes suddenly the oldest person alive. What if we live to 113, 150, whatever? It's just a blink in eternity, folks. I'm telling you, the things we go through in this world will become so insignificant because we're going to move into the literal presence of Jesus Christ and spend an eternity with Him. If we know Jesus Christ and everything that happens to us in this world, He gives us strength and courage to get through it. And from here on out, we know that the end is good. No matter what happens, the end is good. Keep in mind, the message of Jesus Christ is not called good news for nothing. See, our sins are gone. The charges against me have been nailed to the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed away my sin, and there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We're born again, adopted into the family of God, with my name written in the book of life. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who also overshadows and undergirds me. He goes before me and behind me, and I'm saved and forgiven and called and sent, and He is my companion. He's commanded us and He's instructed us and He's blessed us and He's filled us and used us by the living presence of God within our lives. Folks, I'm telling you, it's worth it to live for Jesus because He has risen and verified everything that God said He would do for us. And then finally, I think we need to understand, sometimes we think about the living presence of Jesus and all the great truths and the significance there, and we look at our lives and say, well, I know it's true, but I'm so slow about getting a handle on it. You know, it seems like sometimes we just have a hard time coming to the place that we really make a commitment to do what God wants us to do. See, some truths are just too wonderful. Our carnal fleshly minds resist believing that death is defeated and that being absent from the Lord is, you know, from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our hearts know it's true. We know it's true. We're good to hear this morning. So that means we have to daily give ourselves anew to God. We surrender to His will day by day. And we dedicate ourselves to Him. And I tell you what happens. We begin to grow when that happens. We get excited about the truth. And I tell you something, I'm more excited today about the resurrection of Jesus than I was when I was saved as a 15-year-old boy. Because it's grown. We understand the significance and the more. And we struggle with trying to be able to teach that truth and share that truth and help other people understand that truth. And folks, I'm telling you, it just gets better along the way. Because Jesus Christ is a living Lord. He is alive and His presence is with us and He's going to be with us through all of eternity. And I tell you, if you want to grow and you want to be able to accept it and you want to become more of what God wants you to become, then you do it by making a commitment to Christ today to do whatever He's asking of you to do. You know, we begin by giving ourselves to God and say, God, I want to be used of You and serve You and do what You've asked me to do because You have given everything for me. If you're here this morning, and please hear me, if you're here this morning and you don't have the assurance of the living presence of Jesus Christ in your life because you've never trusted Him in the forgiveness of sin and received Him as your Savior, and you don't have the assurance of the living presence of Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you what you need to do today is to repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The moment you do that, the living presence of Christ Himself will move into your heart, into your life, into your body. And from then on, you'll begin to grow and to understand what it really means to have the living presence of Christ in your life. It'll change your life. You'll have joy and happiness, peace. I'm not promising that nothing will ever go wrong. We're still going to live in a world faced with trials. And sometimes after we trust Christ, Satan tries to make it harder on us. But folks, I'm telling you, it's still better than anything because now we have the assurance that death has been defeated, the consequences of sin have been defeated, and that we have the presence of Christ in our lives and He's never going to forsake us from here on to all of eternity. The greatest need you have in your life is to come to the place that you would trust the living presence of Jesus Christ. Then if you're here today and you say, well, I know him. There was a time in my life when I really trusted him, but I've gotten away from him. I've not been living the way that I ought to, and I've not been faithful. I've not been coming like I ought to come to worship and doing the things that I need to do. But God's spoken to me about that today, and I need to come. Well, as God speaks to you, then you need to come to be obedient to him. Now, I've been preaching 49 years, 47 years, I think it was, since I've been pastoring. And I'll be honest with you, there's not many Easter Sunday mornings I've seen very much happen. Brother Eddie got saved on Easter Sunday. It was a great testimony of him, God speaking to his heart. But most of the time what I hear people say, well, it's Easter, I think I'll wait till next Sunday. Or I think I'll do it another time. There's so many people here today, I'm not sure, you know, I'll be embarrassed if I come. Well, folks, why put it off? Why continue to live in misery when you can know the living presence of Jesus Christ? If you're here today, God brought you here. You're here because he wants you to come and he wants you to trust him. He wants you to make the decision you need to make, whatever that decision may be. And his spirit speaks to your heart and applies the truth of his word. I simply say, folks, it's all real. And if you'll trust him, you'll find it out. Let's pray together. In the quietness of this moment, before we come to the invitation, before we pray, I'm going to ask you to search your heart this morning. Just ask God what he wants you to do today. Do you have a real assurance in your heart that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you sure that you have the living presence of Jesus Christ into your life? If not, you need to settle that this morning. As a child of God, are you where you need to be? As God speaks to you, would you yield and commit yourself to him? Father, we thank you today for everything you've done for us in your Son, Jesus. For the fact that you died to forgive us of our sin and then you rose from the dead to verify it's all true. We pray that we may sense your presence in this place this morning. And then bring us to the place that will bring all things in subjection to you, the living Lord. Through your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and draw us to that place where we'll make a commitment to you. In Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, are about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.